I want to just read from verse 5 to the end of the psalm. Actually, I think it's worthwhile reading the whole psalm. It's not a long psalm, so I'll read the whole psalm, but I'm going to be thinking and talking about verse 5 through to verse 8. Out of the depths, I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So I was thinking about this text, and I was thinking about the matter of waiting upon the Lord, those who wait on the Lord. We have here, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. And I was thinking about that, especially in the light of the miracle of our Lord Jesus walking on the water and coming to his disciples in the fourth watch of the night, and the hope of seeing Christ, waiting and looking for the Lord, really tied in so very well with this beautiful psalm. And I want to say this, that I think that this is probably one of the most difficult and challenging things that we as Christians have to grow in, is to learn to wait upon him. It's challenging and it's difficult because we are still in the flesh. And we are impatient, impetuous, and wayward creatures. And so we struggle to wait on the Lord. We're independent, and we don't like to depend upon the Lord. And so it's difficult and it's challenging. And yet, when we consider God's call to wait upon him, I want us to think about how blessed, what a blessed thing it is to wait upon the Lord. I have seven things I want to share with you. Seven really encouraging and good reasons to stir us up to wait upon the Lord. And especially as we come to the Lord in prayer. So the first thing, when we think about waiting on the Lord, what does waiting on the Lord really mean? What does waiting on the Lord really mean? It means that we are actively seeking God in prayer, and we are waiting upon him for an answer. We are waiting upon him for an answer. It's not a passive let go and let God. It's not presumption. We go ahead and do what we want to do, and we think God, or we hope God, that he'll join us and he'll bless our program. That's not waiting on the Lord. You know, I think of Saul with Agag and how Saul did not wait on the Lord. And the Lord tore the kingdom away from him. And that's a powerful picture. And I'll come back to that. So it means that we are seeking God in prayer and we are awaiting his answer. It's not passive, but it's not presumptuous. So that's the first thing. The second thing, it means that we are to be waiting upon the Lord, means that we are submitting to God's will and we are humbling ourselves. We are humbling ourselves. We're acknowledging our weakness. We're acknowledging our impotency. Because as human beings, we are weak and impotent. And we are proudful creatures. And we know that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So it is submitting to God. It is humbling ourselves. But thirdly, It means that we are taking God at His word. It means that we are taking God at His word. That's what the psalmist says here, right? And what happens when we take God at His word, friends? What does He always give us? What does this text tell us? He always gives us hope. Here's an encouragement for your soul as you think about waiting upon God and seeking God in faith and bringing something to God again and again. We never wait on God in vain. We never wait on God in vain. Our faith is full of hope. Our faith is full of hope. It's God's promise. It's God's promise that promises that enable us to storm the gates of heaven in prayer. It's God, when God gives us His word, He gives us His hope, and He says, test me and try me. Bring my word to me. These are my promises I've made with you. Again, I the text that comes to my mind always, it's imprinted upon my mind, is Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said it and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not make it good? And then think about how the Bible defines what faith is. Faith is what? Faith is what? It's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So when we wait upon Lord, when we wait upon the Lord, we're taking Him at His word. And when we take Him at His word, we have hope. We of all people have hope. The heavens and the earth will pass away. The flowers of the field will pass away. The grass will pass away. But the word of God endures forever. And God's word never returns void. So it is the very essence of hope to wait upon God. But fourthly, waiting on God teaches us something so valuable for our souls. It teaches us perseverance. It teaches us perseverance. We are so inclined to give up. And it teaches us to cast ourselves upon the Lord and to live by faith and not in the flesh. This is what the psalmist says. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. The morning hours, just before the day breaks, are the darkest and coldest hours. I remember one night with a group of friends spending some time in prayer. And we were going to pray through the whole night. And those last few hours were rough. They were rough. They were cold. And we were actually camping somewhere. And I think we some of us didn't make it. We not at all. But these hours before the morning, they're hard. But when we trust the Lord and you think of the disciples pressing on in the midst of that storm, pressing on in spite of the overwhelming opposition, the Lord came to them. And so I want to say, beloved, it is a necessary part of every child of God's growth. Every child of God who loves God to experience the importance and to grow in the importance of perseverance. We cannot mature without it. We cannot mature without it. But what is the end result of that? Those who hope in the Lord, they will see the morning. They will see the deliverance. God will bring His deliverance, just like He brought deliverance for those disciples in that boat. But let me say this as well. Waiting on the Lord really leads us to true worship. It really leads us to true worship. When we wait on the Lord, God God protects us and he delivers us and he shows us his character. He shows us his faithfulness, right? And one of the things that's important about waiting on the Lord is to understand that anyone who waits on the Lord will never be put to shame. Will never be put to shame. Listen to what Psalm 25 verse 1 to 3 says. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. We will not be put to shame. When we don't wait on the Lord, when we rush ahead of him, can we not attribute so much of our shame and humiliation and hurt and pain to the fact that we haven't waited on the Lord? And there are very various reasons why we don't wait on the Lord. I mentioned earlier on about Saul and Samuel's confronting of Saul. And if you read the account, you read this in 1 Samuel 15, 24 to 26, and listen to it carefully. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your word. Now listen what he says. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Saul feared the people. He did not fear God. And when we fear people and we don't fear God, what happens? We end up in humiliation and shame. And look at what happened with Saul. So when we trust God and we rest in him, what does he give us? He gives us peace. He gives us grace. And when we wait on him, he protects us from shame. Mostly our own sin. Our own sin and shame that comes from our own sin that we inflict on ourselves. But let me move on. What this psalm also teaches us, we wait on God because he is full of mercy. Because he is full of mercy. He is far more merciful and gracious than we will ever fully know. And he shows far more mercy and grace than we will ever show. And on the basis of that mercy, we know that we have redemption. We know that he bears with us. We know that he holds us up. Israel, this is what the psalmist says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all iniquities. We wait on our God, beloved, because he is merciful. We don't depend upon man. We don't look to man for mercy. We look to God for mercy. And we look to God for salvation. And then seventhly and finally, we wait on the Lord because those who wait on the Lord will always see revival. Now, I was thinking about this. And I was thinking to myself, you know, that's quite a statement. Why do I say that? Because I was thinking of men who prayed for revival all their lives and never saw it. I was thinking of someone like Martin Lloyd Jones, who prayed for revival for years and years and taught on it, and he never saw revival. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that is definitely the result of what I'm talking about. But I believe revival starts in the heart of individual Christians. That's where it starts. And when they witness revival in their hearts, they keep praying. They keep seeking. The Lord energizes them. The Lord gives them grace to continue to seek. They're filled with the Spirit. And others see that. And others come and seek. And even if they do not see revival as they would like to see, or they would desire to see it in their lifetime, in corporately or globally, their prayers and their hope crosses generations. And God answers those prayers. Maybe years and years, someone has prayed and they're dead and they're gone and they're in glory. And they don't get to see. Because God doesn't always show us his answers to prayer. One sows and one reaps. But God is the one who gives increase. He's sovereign. You think about Abraham. Abraham looked for a land. He didn't receive it, but he looked for it and he hoped for it. And that's what our faith is about. It's not about looking at what's happening here. Because as long as our eyes are here, we're going to grow weary. But if we look to God and our focus is on God, beloved, we will always be filled with hope for revival. It will be happening in our own hearts. I need to close. But Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31 says this. And this is why I say we will always have revival. If we hope and depend upon God and wait upon God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. What a hope, friends. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.